There was a man who owed his master a big debt, 100 million dirhams. We'll call him Josh. And he couldn't pay back that debt. And so the master said, throw Josh into prison. He, his wife, his children. Josh ran to the master, fell down at his feet and said, give me more time and I'll pay it back. The master had pity on Josh and said, he canceled the debt. He forgave the debt and said, you're free. Go ahead. A little bit later, Josh was walking around and then he found Nathan. Nathan owed him 1,000 dirhams and he said, pay me back what you owe me. Nathan said, please, Josh, give me more time and I'll pay it back. But Josh said, no, throw this man in prison. Now, Jesus told this parable to when his disciples asked him, how many times do I need to forgive someone else? I think what was behind Josh's inability to forgive is because he did not understand that he was forgiven. He did not understand that his debt was canceled, and he in some way was trying to pay back that debt. The passage we're going to read tonight is related to this, and what I want you to get out of this passage is that only through faith can we receive Abraham's blessing. I divided the text into three points from the three verses. Verse 7 is children by faith, verse 8 is righteous by faith, and verse 9 is friend by faith. So only through faith can we receive Abraham's blessing. Now on your handouts in the front or on page 5, it's both places. Let's read this together. Galatians 3, 7 to 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So this is a section of a letter that Paul is writing to the Galatian church. Paul had preached the gospel in Galatia, and the church started through his gospel witness there. But then later on at some time, a group of Judaizers came, whom Paul called agitators, came in among the Galatian church and said, they discredited Paul's ministry, and they were telling the Galatian church that these Gentiles needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Paul, throughout the entire letter, is arguing for his gospel that he preached, and he's saying that, no, you do not need to be circumcised. In fact, if you are circumcised, if you are trusting in the works of the law, you are abandoning your faith in Christ, and you are no longer saved. So right before the passage, Paul is arguing, he says that you've received the Spirit by faith. You've received the Spirit by hearing with faith, just like Abraham, who was justified by faith. Right after this passage, he says that relying on the works of the law brings a curse. We are not justified by the law, but through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ, Gentiles may receive Abraham's blessing and the Spirit. And later he says that the promise to Abraham is better than the law. So let's look here at verse 7. It says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So, I marked this children by faith. God promised Abraham land, and that he promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And he says this blessing is to Abraham and his offspring. Paul says that the offspring he's talking about is Christ. And so everyone who is united to Christ becomes children of Abraham and ultimately children of God. And as children, they become heirs to all the promises. And these promises are not just for this life. In the end, in the new world, at the last day, we have the promise that we, as children of Abraham, will reign together over the entire universe. So this is a huge promise and a huge blessing. So what does it look like now to believe this? Abraham, in his life, he got some things wrong, but he also, in trusting in God, in trusting in this promise, he got many things right, which we can exemplify, or that he exemplifies, which we should follow after. For example, how did he think about his power? Abraham, when his friends were put in danger, he and his men risked their lives to rescue those people out of captivity. How did Abraham relate to position? It says God said he would make his name great. Abraham did not seek this out. He was not trying to make a name for himself. And I think this is an exhortation for us. We should not also be trying to make a name for ourselves here. How did Abraham relate to possessions? When the king of Sodom tried to give Abraham a gift, he refused it. He said, I don't want to work in this transactional way. I'm not going to work in this way. But Abraham, when he saw the priest of God Most High, Abraham gave the priest of God Most High a tenth of all he had. And then the biggest way we see Abraham relating in his possessions is when he was given the promised son Isaac, he, in obedience to God, took Isaac up the mountain and was willing to sacrifice him on the altar. Also, how did Abraham relate to place? When Lot, his younger nephew, and Abraham were in a dispute about the land, they couldn't live together anymore, Abraham gave the younger nephew the first choice to the land. And then in the book of Hebrews, it says that Abraham lived in a tent as a foreigner, as an exile, because he was awaiting the heavenly city. Next point is righteous by faith, looking at verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. God graciously chose Abraham, who was a sinner. Like Pastor Josh said today, there are no heroes in the Bible except for Christ. Abraham was just like everyone else in his day. He was a moon worshiper, and it took God's saving work for him to, it wasn't in anything that Abraham had in himself that God chose him. He just chose him. But Abraham believed God. He trusted in God's promises, and he did not trust in his own works. We cannot be saved by any amount of works. Christian, in what ways are you tempted to trust in your own works? Like Thea shared, are you clear about your evangelism? Are you clear with those who don't know him? Do you show them the true gospel, that it is not anything, any works that we do that can save us, but only in trusting in Christ? Friend, do you think your good deeds can save you? What are you adding on to the gospel? Christ plus what do you think is necessary to make you righteous? Paul said in this letter, those who add works to the gospel should be accursed. Let them be accursed, he said. That sounds kind of harsh. Like, isn't it just kind of a small error? No, in Paul's mind, and in the biblical writers' minds, this is a matter of eternal life and death. What are we trusting in? If we add something to it, if we say it's Christ plus this extra thing, we are negating the gospel. We are putting our faith in the wrong thing, and it has eternal consequences. Notice also in this verse it says, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So all the nations can be blessed with Christ's righteousness. But I want you to think, are there certain types of people in your mind that you're like, I'm not sure if that can happen? Maybe it's a guy, maybe it's a Sikh with a turban. Maybe it's a guy in a kandura or a woman in an abaya. Maybe it's a guy walking around with his prayer mat and a shalwar kameez. But is there someone who you're just kind of thinking, I don't know about this? The Bible says that in you shall all the nations be blessed. And we know that in the end, from God will call people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to himself. Now, how do your prayers reflect this truth? We should be praying for the world. And if you want some tools for how to pray for the world, I suggest asking Pastor Josh after the sermon, what are some ways we can pray for the world? How does what you do with your money reflect this truth? And how do your relationships reflect this truth? We are blessed in this time to live in a place where we have people from so many different nations. And this is kind of like, it's kind of like living in like a campus ministry. None of us are staying here forever. But as we invest in each other, as we live life together and grow in our faith, we have the chance to invest in the gospel work throughout the whole world. And another thing that's built into our church is the internship system, where we bring in people from other nations, and then they're just here for a short time. And then how are you investing in the interns? Another way we can invest in the nations is when these interns come in, are you inviting them into your life? Are you sharing life with them? That can be such a good blessing. How do your thoughts and practices in evangelism reflect this truth that all nations can be blessed with Christ's righteousness? Let's look at verse 9 now. It says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And I have for this, friend by faith. In Isaiah, God calls Abraham his friend. And there's three blessings here, but greater than our future reign with him, greater than being counted righteous, is to have God's Spirit dwell with us, and this promise that we will dwell with him forever. We will fully know him as we are fully known by him. How is your hope in this fact growing? Is your fellowship with God getting sweeter? Are you receiving by faith, or are you striving in works? This makes a big difference. Are you receiving by faith Christ's righteousness, or are you striving by works? Later in this letter, Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like these things, or and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Notice the two categories that Paul uses, the works of the flesh. So when we trust in our works, we get one kind of outcome. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we receive by faith, there is another outcome available. So do you see more evident in your life, the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh? So we see here that only through faith can we receive Abraham's blessing. We can become children by faith, we're made righteous by faith, and we're become friends by faith. This how we relate to God makes all the difference. If by relating by faith or by trying by works, it makes all the difference in how we relate to God. It makes all the difference in how we evangelize those who don't know him. And it makes all the difference in how we relate to those who wronged us.